You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Castle After Show.
Bing is for doing, and we're doing another great episode here on AfterBuzz TV for ABC's Castle, Season 5, Episode 21, Squabble and the Quail. I said Squabble.
Okay.
And the Quail.
That's a new animal. That kind of works, though. Yeah. Like, it's a
Squabble
fight.
Bird.
Yeah. I'm your host, Bam Erickson. It's good to be back, and I want to introduce my panel of guests.
Hi, everybody. It's Paige Sullivan. I don't have a voice. I apologize, but I'm here, so.
I think it's hot.
It's raspy, right? It's like Demi Moore, kind of, right?
Goatee.
Sure, yes.
That's what I'm going
but
with.
But so much younger. Oh.
Sorry,
I'm
Demi.
Samara Bay. Hi, guys.
And I'm Larice Shamar.
Okay.
And,
okay, so
and that is it.
We survived.
And so now let's get into tonight's episode. It was really quick. What were your thoughts? What did you guys think of this episode?
Quickly, I thought it was just kind of fluffy. I thought, again, but I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was nice to see conflict between Castle and Beckett. And I think it was a good episode for the fact that they had to pull what they originally wanted there. Mm-hmm. So, under the circumstances, I think it was a good episode.
Let's just talk about what you just said, because that was a little bit vague. But, I mean, I think we all kind of discussed last time after the show that perhaps this hint of this week's episode being about a bombing was a little too soon. And lo and behold, we were right. And obviously, they figured that out, too. So, they threw in, apparently, a later episode that was a little fluffier and funner and more the castle, you know, that we know and love. And they put that in for this episode.
It was good, though. It wasn't a bad episode. I liked it.
I'm going to sound like Paige. I think it was a great episode tonight. I'm kind of glad they kind of put a bomb episode, too.
But now, overall, yeah, I think really that it did a great job tonight. They showed a lot with Beckett. They showed a lot with a lot of features coming back with some of the cast members. So it was good.
And so...
My quick thought on the episode is, yes, it was fluffy in that it was, like, lighthearted and fun and obviously didn't have big cultural, illusions that we weren't ready to deal with yet. But I did think that the way that they dealt with the relationship stuff was smarter and more real and more complex than it could have been.
Yeah,
it was really relatable. It wasn't like... I mean, had Vaughn come along, but there hadn't been this... Whatever. We'll talk about all of this.
Yeah.
But that's my general thought.
I thought it was a pretty good episode, especially compared to last week's. That whole the episode last week about the Bigfoot.
Oh right,
oh,
yes,
Bigfoot.
Yeah. You weren't here, but you
I
watched
was not
it.
Here,
yeah,
but I watched it, and I watched you guys, and I just could not. I didn't like the episode, so.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it did left a not great taste in my mouth.
But, Mr. Shamar, you mentioned the features of the other cast members, and so let's talk about how they were all featured more than once, particularly Lainey.
Yeah.
We saw her three times. So let's just get into Lainey. So we got to see Lainey because there were two different murders. So she was there. We saw her at the crime scene twice, and then we saw her in a conversation having work-related discussion and girl talk at the same time.
Yeah, about men.
Yeah.
With dead bodies present.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it wasn't like nothing. Even when Castle was present, it was kind of like ignore Castle, but hey, let's talk about Eric Vaughn and how attractive he is. Do we talk like that about women?
No.
I don't.
Are you kidding me? If like somebody like Eva Longoria walked in the room, you guys wouldn't make comments about how beautiful she was?
I'm like, wow, she's beautiful. Let's continue to talk about Castle.
Okay. Sure.
Isn't that a nice thing to say while we're on the air?
Yeah, she's very beautiful.
Yes. What a beautiful young woman. That's exactly how you talk.
I just think the way we have conversation is completely different from how you women discuss it.
But it was nice to see, again, that girl talk, because I feel like we haven't seen that side of Beckett and Lainey recently, but we've been seeing a lot more of the guys and, you know, them broing out basically all the time. And so now we kind of got the girly side, and it's nice to see.
And what Paige and I were mentioning last week, that it seems like if Lainey was going to come back instead of Perlmutter, delightful Perlmutter, that it was going to be hopefully at a time when also she would be useful to Kate to be a girlfriend. And in fact, that's totally what happened in this episode.
Yeah, I was kind of glad to see Lainey back. I mean, I hate to see it when she's not there, because she seems more personable when she's on the show versus, like, what's Perlmutter.
Yeah, you're saying Kate seems more personable?
Lainey's more personable.
Because I think both. Yeah. I mean, it's always, I feel like we always see a nice version of Kate when she gets to talk with Lainey, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like she always plays the role more so as, then, you know, the examiner, basically. She is a friend in the show, and that's kind of her role.
And she picks up on, like, you know, the subtext stuff that's going on with all of them. And
Okay, now let's go into Captain.
Man, she was hard this week. She was really, like, to the business, especially with Beckett.
Well, we already know she knows. Now we know she knows.
She has to know.
I don't think she knows.
She has to know.
But they didn't reference it.
No.
Did you
observation.
See the way, I mean, if she doesn't, like I've said before, I think she knows, she's just not saying, because it's just one of those things better left unsaid for everybody's sake.
Okay, well, let's mention what exactly happened. So when Captain was coming to give the news in regards to how she now, not only is she the private bodyguard, now she needs
Kate.
To go at, how Kate now has to not just become the bodyguard, now she needs to go to the extra hotel where he's at. But for me, I felt like Sir did not know what was going on, because, like, Kate's kind of looking at Castle like, she didn't give a damn. Like, she showed no form of expression saying that she knew exactly what was going on. All she cared about was the job and to ensure that Eric Vaughn is safe.
Right. I feel like in the real world, no one could miss those, but I think those looks between them and all the things that was going on in that scene, but I don't think in show world.
See, go ahead.
No, I just felt like it was a look of acknowledgement. Like, I feel like she knew, you know, especially when Castle kind of walked out to the door. They did cut to Kate's face for a second or two, and you saw her registering what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether or not she knows they're together, or it's just Castle's general infatuation with her.
Maybe that's
what it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not that she knows they're together, but there's something there.
But I think she's just kind of like, it's one of those things where you just kind of test the waters, in a sense, to kind of see what the response you would get. And so I think Gates is kind of actually just kind of tested Beckett and Castle to kind of see what type of response that she's going to get for basically telling, hey, Beckett, you have to go stay in the hotel. Because Castle, his expression was that, you can tell on his face. If I was Gates, if I was a captain, I read people very well. And I'd be able to observe, like, the different actions and just the respondents of Castle.
Speaking of, she's a detective. I mean, we should be able to figure this stuff out, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Sometimes you don't know what's right under your nose.
Okay, well, fair enough. We'll agree to disagree.
So,
let's get into Ryan.
Esposito? Oh,
the two of them were just playing off each other delightfully. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think Ryan really had a lot of moments to shine in this, but he and Espo had some great, you know.
And Espo was looking a little ragged. Not ragged. I'm trying to say rugged. Rugged. You know, like,
but
with
also
that,
a little ragged.
A little ragged. Like, he hasn't gotten a haircut in a while and he didn't shave his face. But I feel like he's usually looking very, you know, clean cut. Not as clean cut as Ryan, who has his, you know, nice suits and his hair slicked back. But he's usually pretty well shaved, and his hair is a pretty close cut. And this week it was so not that. You liked it. Didn't you even notice? Oh, you didn't notice?
No, I did notice, but for me, Esposito, next to Beckett, who's had, like, all the hairdos, especially.
Oh my gosh, crazy hair.
And season one, like, her hair was, like, really short, so we had to see the progression of short to medium to now long. And so we've seen all those looks, but Esposito is the only one next to Beckett who has had a lot of hair transformations. Sometimes he kind of has that – that mixed ethnic type hair, like he's could be potentially like mixed with black or Puerto Rican or something. So it's like sometimes he has like the really short hair, or then sometimes it's kind of like straight on the top. And now he had kind of like what we call a curly TWA, which is a teeny weeny afro.
I was gonna say it was like a tiny,
kind of like how your hair is when you're, like you almost, you have kind of like Larissa's hair.
Yeah, well, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, he had a little elevation.
Yeah. Elevation.
His head. So for me, he always, a couple of months, he always looks different as far as the hair is concerned.
Slightly,
but,
though.
Yeah.
Slightly. I felt like this was a very big turn of events in regards to his appearance, because last week he wasn't.
I'm going to go to the extreme. I hope he like grows it out and like go undercover or something.
No.
So,
no.
So basically, you ladies, you just hate the hair. It's not.
No,
sexy.
I don't hate it. I don't think he looked bad. It was just a change. It was just different.
It seemed like, honestly, it seemed like the kind of change that would go along with an episode that was about him, like trying something new or
letting
having sleepless
go.
Nights.
Yeah.
But instead, they didn't reference it. So I think that's why we're
well, I think
surprised.
It's also like we're saying this. It seems maybe it's out of order. Maybe this episode wasn't even intended for this season. I mean, obviously it was, but. Things have changed, so maybe there would have been a progression and we would have seen him kind of let his hair grow out or whatever.
Maybe.
Which ties into our next topic, which is it's interesting that this episode happened now and that their relationship is sort of tested in this way now, because I do wonder if it's going to lead into, you know, they're trying to set up like cliffhanger end of the season.
I think they are setting that up, but at the episode that we thought was going to air that they previously previewed, showed them kind of almost losing each other. You know, she almost died, and it was going to be a test again of their relationship and test their emotions. And I feel like that would have been the breaking point for them to, you know, really commit to each other. And so maybe this was just a completely different turn, but it's along the same lines. They kind of gave us the same plot in regards to Castle and Beckett.
And in both cases, there's a define the relationship element going on.
Define the relationship. DTR, people. DTR.
Go ahead.
Okay, guys, come on. Go ahead.
I thought you were going to do iTunes.
Oh, I was. hey, everybody. Make sure you go to iTunes and click on the AfterBuzz and make sure you rate us, comment us, tell a friend. We are not available on your iPad for download, iPhone for download, and Android applications and devices. So make sure you go to iTunes, rate us, tell us what you think about this week's episode, what you think what's going to happen in the future, even with the season finale. Just iTunes, AfterBuzz, rate us.
We're like everywhere.
Yeah.
We're amazing.
We are. We're mobile.
We are growing, people. Growing.
Join us.
Join the movement.
And speaking of moving, let's movement right into now the murder. Let's go into that. What'd you guys think of that?
It was interesting.
That's some quick acting poison.
Yeah, that was a blink of an eye, he was dead.
You want to give the quick little rundown as you do?
A real quick little one. Okay, no. So we have a bunch of people eating dinner at this busy high-end restaurant, and we see something sprayed on food. So you automatically know somebody's being poisoned. I mean, right off the bat, you know that's what's happening. And they're giving it to this table full of people talking millions of dollars. You know, oh, this $1 million deal or that $1 million deal. So you realize they're wealthy people.
Yeah.
And they all seem to be talking rather delicately and, like, looking at each other shiftily. Like, it seemed like from the beginning there was a sense of suspicion.
Yeah, it was very strange. And so Arthur, I think his last name was Fetter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arthur, he was killed. He ate the quail.
And you knew something was happening because when they kind of did his POV, he could not see straight. Everything was rather blurred.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he's killed. And so
somebody had to die.
So we go through and try and figure out how he's killed and why he's killed. And it comes to the point where the orders were mixed up and the person who was really supposed to be killed was Eric Vaughn, who's this entrepreneur.
He's a millionaire.
He's
billionaire.
A billionaire. But he's an inventor. He's an inventor.
Yeah,
and so,
entrepreneur, yeah.
Yeah.
The way he became an inventor was kind of corny, so it's like,
Oh my God,
we laughed out loud.
His sister died. So
he was still in college.
Of heart failure?
And so he drops out of college, and then he invents something.
He says, I dropped out and invented a new heart valve.
I wonder what was his major first. He probably was like a political science major. So.
You don't just drop out of college and magically know how to fix a heart.
You do if you're Eric Vaughn.
If you're Eric Vaughn. I mean, what did he do? Like, just play with PC pipes? What are those?
He's like, this works.
Yeah. This will be, that will work. And, I mean, it was really corny. It was really corny.
I think we should try.
Although, maybe that's his, sure. Maybe that's his line to get ladies.
It might be a line. God, he was so smooth. He really was smooth.
I liked him last season on CW with this show from Sarah Michelle Gellar.
The Ringer?
Yeah.
He was on that?
He was on The Ringer. He was married to her character.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did he have the same accent?
Same accent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But you know, everybody's smooth when you're rich. No matter what you say, you just be kind of like...
Not everybody's smooth when they're rich. No. But no, there is certainly that type. Yeah. I mean, he knew what he was doing.
But Kate was falling for it at some point. Like, you would see in her eyes, she was just kind of like,
I think she's kind of questioning the relationship. At the end, she's kind of questioning it. Because she resisted a lot throughout the whole...
Well, I mean, this whole thing with the murder and the relationship was very intertwined this episode. Yeah. And so we saw that Castle and Beckett were kind of... They're hitting a lull, you know? I mean, everything's great for the first couple of months, and then it just gets comfortable, and he'd rather play his video game than have sex with her.
Not only is he playing video game, but he's kind of doing like an Xbox 360 live.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Chatting with people.
Have you ever played live?
I've seen people play it.
It's very intense.
But you got somebody in your ear constantly talking to you. You just like got to be competitive towards somebody. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I mean,
who's going to win?
And he's playing against some little boy from overseas or India.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it doesn't excuse the fact that Beckett is now feeling underappreciated.
She was trying real hard.
She was putting herself out there, and he was letting her down.
He said, hold on.
Oh, that's not what it wants to hear when she's doing like a pretend striptease. But I have to say, she's so funny doing that sexy voice. I was like, I can't.
It was adorable.
It was really funny.
So do you think because of... Castle's lack of
attention.
It caused her eye to wander.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Especially when.
Setup, right?
I think it's more the persistency of Eric Vaughn because he was very, very, very persistent. But he didn't come off as
pushy.
Like.
He didn't come off pushy.
Pushy
though.
At all. He's come off like, oh, well, you kind of helped me out in a favor. But
he says point blank, are you. You know, dating Castle, and she says yes, and then he still pursues.
Well, that's
that
like
got
any,
a little.
But any guy, most guys will ask a woman that because they kind of observe the environment. But at the same time, they have to ask the question, are you happy?
And that's exactly what it did. And because she
hesitated,
that gave him the incentive and the reason to want to.
Yeah, that she's
dive
not
in.
Happy 100%.
Well, I think every relationship has ups and downs and bad weeks and good weeks, and they're having a bad week. And I think when you're having a bad week and somebody else is willing to give you that love and affection, whether...
When you're feeling the most
vulnerable,
open to it,
yeah. And so, I don't think she should have, you know, let... I don't even think she should have let him get that close to her to begin with before the kiss that they kind of shared. Because I think just allowing him to get that close shows that she's, you know, maybe Beckett... In Castle, there isn't a lot of trust there.
Is that delicate thing when she was offended enough that he didn't trust her that she was sort of willing to use that as an argument to, you know, well, then I'm going to trespass. But on the other hand, he was right to
but
not trust
you
her.
You know the
true.
Funny
she
thing,
clearly
though,
in that circumstance.
That, was, like, when she actually, like, kissed him, both of y'all were like, that was a kiss. I was like, that wasn't a kiss. Like,
it was a kiss.
I thought it was a kiss.
I mean, it probably wasn't a satisfying kiss for either one of them, if that's what you're talking about. But did she step away before they connected? No.
No, it wasn't.
She should have.
Yeah. I think it,
but
I
then
think,
he would have died. I love that setup with the gunshot.
I know, right? It's like, the kiss saved my life.
She had to reenact it. It was like, the writers came up with a fun little moment there. Mm-hmm.
I think that... The way she did it, I thought was smooth because, you know, she really wanted to kiss him, but she really didn't. So she made sure that at least the lips touched so maybe she can just kind of get just a little bit before. I think she was going to back off as soon as she got it for like 2 seconds.
Wasn't that funny?
I don't know.
I think she second guessed herself, obviously, when it was about to happen, and that's when she pushed him.
To me, that was not really a push.
That's like
I think overall, like, it's just one of those things when you're kind of in a relationship, it's like how you being tempted, you know, and I think just because of his success and how everybody's talked on how beautiful he was and the type of person that he was, it kind of got to her on a mental level.
But not only that, but not only what the reputation that he had, it was the things that he said to her.
Yeah,
about how amazing she was. And how
exactly the time that Castle wasn't appreciating her, he was saying, "You're being underappreciated." No, yeah. Who doesn't like that?
Everyone want to be told that they're appreciated or loved. And
Larice, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Samara. I appreciate you too.
Moving on. I don't know. I think obviously the kiss shouldn't have happened. She had a seed of doubt in her head.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, like we're saying, DTR, they haven't defined the relationship. And so things are confusing for her. She's confused as to who they are as a couple.
And speaking of that, you know, the mom referenced something. We actually forgot to discuss the mom and the daughter, which they came in, you know,
nice
midway. It was nice scene. But the mom was like, you know, she kind of told it like it was, like, there is no commitment. There's no ring on the finger. So technically speaking, there's no true commitment.
Which was interesting because, I mean, not only did she mention an interesting sort of whatever social cultural point, which is it's true technically speaking, but also she brought the ring into their relationship. You know, that was a moment in conversation there.
Yeah, I don't agree with her. I mean, obviously she's probably more old fashioned than say I am, but I don't think a ring defines a relationship. I don't think that's the only way to be monogamous. I mean, there's plenty of people in the world who have lived together and never ever get married. I mean, if you I know a lot of people from Sweden, and they just live together, have kids, and they never get married. They're just like, it's not a big deal to them. And so I think that excuse is a little lame for her to be able to wander. But I like that the conversation's been brought up. Is that where we're going? Are we going to have a casket wedding?
I have to disagree with you, and that's really odd that you as the woman saying this and me as a guy, we're on totally opposite sides. There are way too many relationships where they're together, they live together, there's kids, but there's no commitment at all. There's no, you know, you live together, you have kids. There's no form of commitment, and it's like
there's no paperwork. I mean, honestly, that's what it is. I mean, a wedding these days and marriage is very much. I mean, if you're religious, yeah, it's a religious thing, but it's also just paperwork and it's insurance.
You guys are actually agreeing with each other, because the main point is that if two people have a conversation and determine that they're on the same page, then they're on the same page. And Castle and Beckett happen to have not had that conversation yet. So whether it's a literal ring or a metaphorical ring, meaning just a commitment, they haven't had that conversation yet.
Right.
And that's really what the mother brings up in that moment. Mm-hmm. And Castle's like, that's true.
I don't think I'm married. Well, I don't think they need to get married.
Nah,
it might be where the show's going.
It definitely don't need to get married. If they get married, the show's going to be over. Like, I've heard that whole saying before, like, if there's no ring on a finger, that you're not committed to someone. And I agree on both sides of it. But, I mean, in a relationship, it just depends on what y'all see each other for. You know, I mean, a lot of times I've been in a relationship where that we could be, like, together for, like, 8 months, but and we never discussed a relationship at all. But at the same time, we knew who we were because we was with each other, we was faithful to each other, and that's all we wanted. So, I mean, it just kind of depends on the person and the personality.
Yeah, it's knowing where the lines are drawn, and like we're saying, that's just not there in Castle, and so.
And it's also funny. I mean, I brought this up when we were all watching together. Yeah. At the end, when she says, "I want to talk," she said it at the worst possible time.
It's about to be a full body massage.
Don't ruin the massage.
That was just terrible.
It was, but it was after a long. I get why. I feel like when it's on your mind, you have a hard time not blurting it out. But I don't even think Castle realized what she was asking.
No.
So he was just trying to do something great for her. But I think at the same time, Castle's kind of comfortable in the relationship where he's like, in his mind, because in a lot of guys' mind, they really don't ask about the relationship. It's typically more of the women bringing up, like, hey, are we together? Are we together? But most guys kind of feel comfortable because when they're happy with someone, it's like they're just happy. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell them that this is my girl. They just kind of automatically take on that role of I'm your man and that's it. Where a lot of women have to question the fact that, are you with me? Do you trust me? and everything like that. Because most men, they just kind of trust off back. Once they kind of let down their guard and get in that comfortable zone, most men is like, you're their girl.
Although we saw a funny castle out of his comfort zone time almost this entire episode with the coffee, which was this hilarious running thing with him. He just became crazy around the precinct without Jacket being there because there she was on detail with, you know,
it's an uncomfortable moment with not having your significant other there and knowing that possibly she can be tested. I mean, come on, like any guy, no matter how comfortable you are in your relationship, if you have somebody like Eric Von come and test, like come into your life and your presence of your relationship, it's always going to be the question of, what are they doing?
No, I agree.
Do you want to get back to the murder at all?
Yeah, we will.
Do you have a comment?
I just have one comment. I think it was cool how they flipped it. Rather than making her be the jealous one over all the ladies who are always after him because he's a successful writer, I think it was cool how they flipped it. And it's her who actually got caught up kissing a guy versus him. So when we go into predictions, I have a prediction that I think is going to affect their relationship, but we can talk about that later. But I just think it's cool how they flipped it.
And it's funny that they set it all up too, that she was saying, you know, well, she's in a moment of self-deprecation near the beginning. She said, oh, well, why would this Eric Von guy even be interested in me? And Castle agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would he be?
So it came to bite him in his ass.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the murder. Eric Von. Well,
and the other murder.
And his name was Corey.
Corey
Harrison. I was about to say Feldman. That's terrible.
No, Corey
That's
Feldman. Really Corey, okay, so, well, we're first brought to Corey Harrison, who is the one who poisoned him initially with the, how do you, saxitoxin?
Yeah.
Saxitoxin. The sexiest sounding toxin ever. This was,
you know, true to Castle form. We had a couple people. We had Cindy, the crazy ex-girlfriend, who comes into play later, but she tried.
She wasn't really a
girlfriend. She wasn't a girlfriend. She was a colleague.
They said, fatal attraction on her, so she's a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. So how can we tell
And the Carrie Underwood stuff.
Carrie Underwood comments are very funny. I know. I can't blame her if they did her wrong. I mean, do what you gotta do. But Corey Harrison, he was the bus boy, and he was the first one who threw somebody else under the bus. But when we go, and this all revolves around a bus, too. And so that's where he gets the poison. But they go to question him, and he's killed already.
Yeah.
And so it kind of seems like a professional job. Somebody's really good at what they're doing.
Which was, by the way, Ryan's only real moment, is that he's apparently allergic to down pillows.
Oh, yeah, his nose was really red.
It was really red.
Yeah.
But then they look into this guy's life, Corey's life, and they kind of trace his steps. And it seems as though somebody approaches him at a bus stop and gives him this toxin. Mm-hmm. And kind of threatened him a little bit. And that leads us to, what was his name?
Thomas Barber.
With the neck tattoo. He's just a professional hitman. I mean, we don't even see him. We just know that he's trying to kill people.
Yeah.
So.
And he's pretty good at it.
But it all leads back to, like, a paper trail, basically, of payments that are being made.
Yeah.
Payment was made to Cindy for the saxitoxin, or for some, like, blueprints to something. A company trying to steal them. She wanted to get back at Eric. She needed the money. Turns out that it's his company, and he's the one signing off on all these payments.
The company is a fraud.
People have been investing in something that doesn't exist, which is why Arthur is dead.
So then there's this interesting moment when Kate thinks that she's been getting a crush on a guy who's actually
a murderer.
And notice how she was quick to defend him, saying, that can't be. He's a billionaire. She was defending him. I mean, yeah, it does make sense. Okay, he's a billionaire. Why would he need to do this? And then Castle, of course, doing the whole thing in regards to the other billionaire who's now in jail. But she was defending him more like she defended Castle when a couple episodes ago when Castle was in that rut. And she was defending him in a relationship type of way.
Right. But she was also right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But it was funny that in that moment when Castle was like, aha, I think he got his mojo back.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of a sudden the coffee jitters were gone and he's like,
Beckett there. He was, that's all he was worried about. They was in the same room, so he was happy.
Aww. Yeah, that was cute. But so it's not him. I have a trial leads back to who does all the paperwork for the company.
The lawyer.
With the bow tie. totally obvious and weird.
You like feel for people like him, but then you think you just had these people killed. But I felt bad. You know, he's like, I just got stuck and I just kept getting in a deeper hole and a deeper hole. And there was no way out. And I was going to go to jail. Well,
you're still going to jail.
I don't know why we thought murder was a good idea. Because you're still going to jail.
Yeah.
But I mean,
not getting caught was his plan.
Yeah, but I didn't call that from the get-go. I didn't call the. I thought it was the assistant, Petra.
Yeah.
Petra.
Yeah.
I was so invested in Eric Von Castle Beckett.
You didn't care.
I didn't really care much. Mm-hmm. I cared much less about the murder. I was following what's going to happen with this relationship because clearly, you know, Beckett had something for Eric, so I was more invested in that than the actual murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I thought it was cool how there was two murders within in tonight's episode.
Yeah, right. It was definitely
it's cool. The more bodies, the better. Yeah.
Definitely a good thing.
Well, because for me, it was able to embody all the rest of the precinct workers.
It was great.
By there being two by there being two murders.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to care more about that love triangle. You're right, because they're the ones, you know, they're the
Castle Beckett is my favorite.
Yeah, well, they kind of like they.
Lainey as well as mine.
Yeah. Well, they already tugged at your heartstrings this week because you like, you feel for Beckett, but you also feel for Castle, and you don't. You know, I think everybody's been in both situations where you either don't trust or you're questioning a relationship.
Have you guys ever been in that situation before?
Well, I've never been with Eric Von in a presidential.
That was a really nice suite.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Beautiful until it got
shot out.
Yeah.
It was
I like how Castle came in the suite and he kept looking around the suite. He saw like the two glasses of like champagne. Then he kind of like strolls into like Beckett's room and started looking at her clothes. What her clothes was. Mm-hmm. Then he's like, "What did you bring to sleep in? What type of pajamas?" Who does that?
She handled that pretty well. The fact that she came clean as quickly as she did about the kiss was you know,
as you should.
I know. A, yes, but also B, they could have done the like she gets caught in the lie, blah blah blah. Could have devolved, and instead she's
not
the good man.
She's not like that anyway. No, she's very upfront. So,
yeah.
That's good. Okay, were you guys surprised at Castle's response to it was a kiss? It meant nothing. Like doing the massage and having all that stuff in the bathroom. Do you think that his actions and how he basically ignored it or trusted her, do you think that was the decision that he should have gone with, or do you think he should have?
Of course,
I think that was the adult decision. I mean, like we said, they haven't defined the relationship. Where else can you go from there?
They're both adults.
I think what really got him was basically when Eric was leaving out of the precinct, telling him that he has a great woman. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of took the thing of the kiss is like, oh, that's nothing. Let me kind of show my appreciation to Beckett and the whole massage and having an intimate moment with Beckett.
He seemed to sort of take it as that was my punishment for undervaluing her.
It's kind of like a wake-up call in the sense like she's here today, but she can be gone tomorrow because there can be someone else better than I. So...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you guys.
My favorite line in this entire thing that I did not see coming was when Castle first finds out that she has to do detail on this guy and says, "Can you believe this? She has to hang out with a rich guy against her will." And the other two guys are like, "That has never happened before."
Castle.
Yeah.
Whole premise
like
of the
he's
show.
Not
Whole
rich.
Premise of the show.
Whole premise of the show.
Any final thoughts before we go into news and gossip and predictions?
No, I want to hear your predictions.
All right, so do we have news and gossip?
Well, it was just kind of the episode was pulled, but we touched base on. So, we'll have to keep up on that and see if that's coming.
Okay. And it's unclear. I don't know if anyone of our viewers or listeners got a better sense than we did of what exactly is happening next week. It sort of looked like a retrospective of their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a filler episode, but then it said all new, which is confusing to me.
So let's go into news and gossip.
Well, that was news and gossip.
I was waiting for the...
You're after Buzz. That's it.
Yeah. So, my prediction is I think the kiss will affect their relationship. Not directly, but there's going to be things within these next couple episodes that is going to tear down their relationship, and I think they're going to break up.
I disagree. Because looking at next week's episode where they're looking back on all that they've been through, and he says, "Oh, your crazy haircuts and this and that," I think it's more of a you know, look what we've been through. This is something we can easily conquer.
I think, given what you two said, and obviously we're allowed to be totally wrong, I think that based on what happened in this episode, he is going to propose and she is going to freak out and all of her commitment issues come back up.
Oh.
Wow. See, I don't think he's going to propose only because we're at season 5. The ratings are terrific right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like
maybe my suggestion will lead to your conclusion.
Yeah, I think a breakup would be great because then they can go into the murders and the whodunit, and then they could work back on their relationship maybe toward end of season 6.
And
then maybe towards season 7 they could go into getting back together, the proposal, then get married. And, you know, maybe season 7, you know, they'll end it or something with a nice big wedding.
That's ambitious.
I think overall that this whole, the kiss and the Beckett castle and Beckett actually questioning their relationship right now, I think it's going to put more pressure on Castle. Because I think Beckett's going to, she's going to be that person who's going to kind of just nitpick and kind of understand, like, where are we going? You know, she's going to want more detailed information about what direction that they're going in. Mm-hmm. Now, and even, like, Ben, when you said that they might break up, maybe it might actually, like, inspire other relationships to happen. You might see Ryan's wife in the pregnancy, you know, in season 6. Or you might see Esposito and Lainey kind of spark another flame in season 6, so...
Yeah, I'm totally just thinking about the future. I'm thinking, like, you know, right when they get married, this big murder is going to happen, and we're going to go into, like, this two-week episode. So I
Ben's, like, way ahead of everybody, like, two seasons.
Ahead of the writers. Yeah,
I'm ahead of the writers. All right, well, we want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode here on AfterBuzz TV for ABC's Castle. You guys, let everyone know where you can be found on social media.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Paige Sell and at PerfectPaige.com.
Your voice is held up very nicely.
Thank you. I'm trying, guys.
It's kind of sexy, too.
Thanks, fam. So I'm sorry. No, I like it. Hey, if that's what... If it doesn't sound like I'm dying, I mean... right there.
Now that you mention it. I'm at Samara Bay.
The
Smarty at the party. You can't forget the little, little prepositions in there. Yeah, mm-hmm. thesmartyattheparty.com.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at... Larice Shamar on Twitter and True Peoples on Instagram. You can also follow me and basically check my website at truepeoplesmedia.com.
And you can follow me on Big Six Entertainment and also Bam Erickson. So we want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. We will see you guys next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.